Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our weekly Sunday morning shiur with the Five Towns for Rockaway virtual base medrash. So this morning shiur, we will actually continue with some lessons learned from the life of Rabbi Akiva, which has been a running theme through my shiurim on this platform. I'm going to begin, however, with a dvar Torah that my son shared at the Shabbos table this past Friday night after we made kiddush. Even before we washed, my son Yitzchak Yonatan said, I have a Dvar Torah. Everybody was hungry, and we said, can we say it after washing? Once we start the meal, he said, it's very short. So we said, okay. So what was a Dvar Torah? He told a beautiful Dvar Torah. Interestingly, last week's shiur, a Jew without Torah is like a fish without water. Excuse me. The point of departure of that year, to quote with the highest respect by Dr. J.J. Schechter, the point of departure from that year was also a Dvar Torah my son said at the Shavuos table about a Jew without water, without Torah, is like a fish without water. So my son said this past Friday night at the Shabbos table that my husband took the children Erev Shabbos swimming. My parents, they should live in Biwal, Baruch Hashem, have a house in Atlantic Beach, and they have a swimming pool. There's the main pool, and then there's a small hot tub. And my son said he realized on Friday while he was swimming the following ha'ara. So the hot tub is very warm, very relaxing, and the swimming pool is a number of degrees colder. And once you go into the hot tub, it's hard to leave the warm water and go back into the swimming pool where it feels so cold. And my son said to himself, he's not going to go into the hot tub because then he's not going to want to swim in the main pool. And he said that he realized that this is a life lesson for a Torah Jew. When a person becomes embroiled in bad things, in negative things, and things that make our blood boil, not in a positive way, it might become too hard to leave that environment. And therefore, we should not become, he said, involved in bad things in the first place, because we will not want to get out of them. And this is a very true word and very powerful word, that sometimes a person thinks they can be, they will remain unaffected by the negativity of destructive influences that surround them. But this is not true. If a person becomes involved in or influenced by negativity, it is not possible that their neshama will not be affected, and it is going to be very, very difficult to leave that environment. And the fact is that you see this in Sefer Bereishis. Chazal tells in Pirkei Avos, Pafoch ba, v'hafoch ba, dekula ba, the end of Pirkei of Avos. We should turn the Torah over and over because everything is in the Torah. My son's word is actually grounded in Torah. If you look at the story of Avram Avinu and his nephew Lot. So Avram was commanded to leave his land and his birthplace and go to the land that I will show you. And Avram left from Ur Kasdim, from Haran, and he journeyed to Canaan. And he took along with him, besides for his wife Sarai and all the possessions and the souls that they amassed in Haran, he took along with him his nephew Lot. After they get to the land of Canaan and Perigir Beis, there's a famine in the land, they descend to Egypt. When they leave Egypt, that Avram is very wealthy. Lot, his nephew, is very wealthy. They have flocks, they have shepherds, they have wealth, they can no longer dwell together. And Avram says to Lot, in Perikid Gimel Pasachasa Bereishis, Al na tihi meriva beinu veinecha. There should not be a quarrel between me and between you, and between my shepherds and between your shepherds. Ki anashim achim anachnu. We are brothers. The whole land is before us. We need to split up. If you go left, I will go right. If you go right, then I will go left. Avram Avinu doesn't want to have machlokas, and he says we should split up. And Lot lifts his eyes, and he sees the plain of the Yarden River. It is all irrigated. This is before God destroyed Sodom and Amor. It was like the garden of Hashem. And therefore, Lot chose the cities of the plains. And Lot traveled from the east. And Avram Avinu and Lot split ways. Parak Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Beis tells us, Avram Yashav Be'eretz Canaan. Avram dwelt in the land of Canaan. V'lo Yashav Ba'arei Hakikar. And Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. And then the Pasuk says, Parak Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Beis, Vaya'ahal ad Sodom. Lot tented in Tol Sodom. What does that mean? He tented in Tol Sodom. That's a very strange terminology. So Rashi says he pitched his tents for his shepherds and his livestock ad Sodom, which article translates as far as Sodom. But if you look at the Lashon HaTorah, what does ad Sodom mean? Where exactly was Lot? Was he in Sodom? Was he outside of Sodom? Was he on the borders of Sodom? How am I supposed to know what ad Sodom means? When you next meet Lot, in juxtaposition to his placement in Sodom, it's at the War of the Four Kings and the Five Kings, what I like to call the first world war in world history, and Perek Yedalet of the Book of Bereishis. And Lot is captured in this battle, which is why Avraham Avinu goes to war to rescue his nephew Lot. So Lot is captured. And it says in Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Beis in the Book of Bereishis, Vayichu es Lo, ves Ruchusho, ben Achi Avram, Vayelchu. And they took Lo and his possessions. Lo is the nephew of Avram. And they went, Vuhu Yoshev Bistom. And Lo is dwelling in Sodom. What does that mean? The first time we meet Lo, the Torah tells, not the first time we meet Lo, but the first time we meet Lo in juxtaposition to his placement in Sodom, we are told, Vuhu Vayahal Ad Sodom. He tented in Tol Sodom. We're not exactly sure what that means. The next time, in Perek Yud Dalet Pasuk Yud Beis, a Perek later, we are told, Vuhu Yoshev Bistom. He is no longer at the border. He is no longer Ad Sodom. He is now dwelling in Sodom itself. And finally, in Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Aleph, when the Malachim come to save Lot, and his wife ultimately turns to pillar of salt, and his daughters from the destruction of Sodom. What is Lot's position now? He began, Vayahal Ad Sodom. The next time we meet him, it is Yoshev Bistom, and finally, Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Aleph. Vayivo Shnei HaMalachim Sodoma Be'erev. The two angels come to Sodom in the evening. Velo Yoshev Bisha'ar Sodom. Lot is dwelling in the gates of Sodom. Vayar Lot, and Lot sees Vayakum the Krasam, and he gets up to meet the guests, and he bows down to the ground. What does it mean, Lo Yoshev Bisha'ar Sodom? So Rashi says, also Hayom, that very day, Minuhu Shofet Al Hashoftim. Lot was appointed the Supreme Court Justice that day. He was made the judge over all the judges. Lot now sits in the gates of the city in biblical times. Fascinating. Last year, at exactly this time, we left Motzei Shabbos Parshas Ba'al Yischa 1 year ago. We did a 2-week tour of Eretz Yisrael. We went to a fascinating excavation site called Korbet Kayafa near Beit Shemesh. If you ever have the opportunity to visit Korbet Kayafa, I highly, highly recommend it. But you see what it means to sit in the gates of the city. The gates were all the prominent, it was a double-walled city very often to protect against invaders. And the gates of the city were where all the prominent members of society sat. So when the Torah tells me that Lot is sitting in the gates of Sodom, it doesn't mean he pulled up a beach chair and sat at the entrance of the city. It means he's the chief court justice. He is Sodom. He's in charge. He makes the decision. He makes the laws. He passes the cases. He hears the litigation. He is Sodom. How do we understand this? As Rav Shmuel Golden in his beautiful Sefer Unlocking the Torah Text, Bereishit. When we first meet Lot in juxtaposition into Sodom, it's Vayahal Ad Sodom, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis. The next time we meet him in Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Beis, we are told, Vuhu Yoshev Bistom, he is dwelling in Sodom. And finally, when we meet Lot in juxtaposition to Sodom, he is now Yoshev Bisha'ar Sodom. He made it. He is the man in society. He is the CEO. Rav Shmuel Golden says, you learn from here. A person cannot dwell on the border of evil and think they will remain unaffected. A person who thinks he could just tent in Tol Sodom. You could take from the good of this place that is full of negativity, full of corruptness, full of promiscuity, full of degenerate ways. And if you think you can just dwell on the border and not be affected, a person is making a very grave mistake. Immediately after we are told, Vayahal Ad Sodom and Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, the very next words in the Torah are, Va'anshei Sodom ra'im v'chata'im la'Hashem me'od. The people of Sodom were wicked and sinners to God very much. And both Targum Onkelos and Rashi explained they were wicked and sinful with their money and with their possessions. With their money and with their bodies. Okay, with their possessions and their bodies. It was a wicked town. It was a wicked city. And Lot understood this, but he thought he could take from the good of Sodom and remain unaffected by the bad of Sodom. Vayal Ad Sodom. I'm just going to put my foot in the hot tub. And before you know it, Hu Yoshev Bistom, you moved in because the allure of the beauty, the external beauty, which is really a schmutz, the externality that you see pulls a person in. Like my son said, it's better not to become involved in bad things in the first place, because once a person is involved in bad things, it's very hard to leave. It's hard to leave the waters of the hot tub to go into the cold swimming pool. But if you never go into the hot tub in the first place, you have no problem. You think the swimming pool is wonderful. Vuhu Yoshev Bisha'ar Sodom. Lot's journey ends with full acclimation, integration, leadership. in a place that is ra'im v'chata im la'Hashem or how, because he thought he would remain unaffected by just dwelling on the borders of Sodom. There is no such thing. A person cannot dwell on the border of evil. You cannot have temporary dwelling, vayal ad Sodom, tents, denote a temporary dwelling, just at the border of Sodom. No, it is inevitable. The Yetzer Hara will be drawn in. This is Lot, who was influenced by Avraham Avinu, who saw the Bechinas Chesed, who recognized God because Avram recognized God, and yet he could not withstand the persuasion of the corruptness of the people of Sodom. It's a strong Mr. Haskell for us. We have to be very, very careful with what we associate in life, with whom we associate in life, with where we choose and how we choose to spend our time, with how we spend our recreational time. Don't think you can live on the border of corruptness, of immorality, of unethical behavior, of impurity, ra'im v'chata'im la'Hashem ma'od, and remain unaffected. It is quite positively impossible, as the journey of Lot teaches us. A person cannot dwell on the border of perversity and remain unaffected. I told my family at the Shabbos table on Shabbos day that I was thinking very much about my Yitzchak Yonatan's Dvar Torah, because I think it's a very beautiful and profound insight coming from Kenayin Har, a 14-year-old boy. And it's very true, and it's a strong Mr. Haskell for all of us, as the Torah tells us, into Lot's journey, into the descent, into the corruptness of Sodom. However, I think you could look at it on the flip side as well. The flip side is, let's see the warm waters of the hot tub as the water of Torah. Torah is water, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. That's number one. And Ein Mayim Ela Torah, Maseches Avodah Zarah 5b, the Gemara tells us when there's a metaphor for water, it's Torah. And furthermore, Torah represents warmth, Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. The Torah represents the light, the flame, the brightness, the warmth, the fire of Torah. So I think another way to look at the Mashal Nimsha of the hot tub with the swimming pool is to recognize that we must remain in the hot tub, because the hot tub represents warmth and the hot tub represents water. Both warmth and water, both warmth and water represent Torah. And a Jew should realize that that is where we have life, in the waters of Torah, Ein Mayim Ela Torah, and in the warmth of the fire, of the flame of Torah. Ki Ner Mitzvah, says David HaMelech, V'Torah Or. I would like now to go with this approach to the hot tub swimming pool mashal, to the Gemara where we left off last week. Last week we began the Gemara talking about the Gemara Maseches Brachos, Samech Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us about a conversation between the great Rabbi Akiva and Pappus Ben Yehuda. If you missed the share last week, you could catch it on YU Torah. A fish without water is like a Jew without Torah. Or a Jew without Torah is like a fish without water, I should say. The Gemara there records, Brachos Samech Alech Amad Beis, a conversation between Pappus and Rabbi Akiva. We're not going to go through the shiur of last week today, but on last week's shiur, we quoted the Gemara where Pappus comes to Rabbi Akiva and he says to Rabbi Akiva, how could you be teaching Torah? The Romans have said, anyone who teaches Torah will be put to death. There's a decree against teaching Torah. So Rabbi Akiva said, I'm going to give you a mashal to the fact that a Jew without Torah is like a fish without water, and therefore I will keep teaching Torah. That was our conclusion of shiur last week. I'm going to pick up exactly where we left off last week. I'm going back to the Gemara Maseches Brachos, Samech Aleph Amud Beis. So, the Gemara says, Amru, lo hayu yamim mu'atim, it was only but a few days, ad shetafsuhu l'Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was captured. It was a time of Roman oppression. The Romans said Jews are not allowed to learn Torah. Rabbi Akiva defies the Roman emperor, and he continues to teach Torah. Ad shetafsuhu l'Rabbi Akiva, they capture Rabbi Akiva, v'chavashuhu b'veis ha'surim, he's arrested, and he is put into jail. He's put into the Beis HaSurim. Rabbi Akiva is put in jail. Why? Because he was teaching Torah l'Rabbim. That's what the Gemara tells us. He was makil kihilos berabim va'osek b'torah. Rabbi Akiva was gathering the masses and he was teaching Torah. The Romans found out about this. They arrest him and they capture him and they imprison him. V'tafsuhu l'papus ben Yehuda. Look at this. Who else was captured and imprisoned and put in jail? Pappus ben Yehuda, the same Pappus who we quoted the Gemara last week, who says to Rabbi Akiva, why are you teaching Torah despite the Roman decree? And Rabbi Akiva said, how could a Jew live without Torah? Just like a fish cannot live without water, Rabbi Akiva is put in jail. And as fate would have it, Pappus ben Yehuda is also arrested. Look at that. V'chavashuhu atso, he is put into jail next to Rabbi Akiva. So you have these two great sages, scholars, put into jail next to each other. Now, if you recall, we said last week, Pappus ben Yehuda was in trouble and arrested because the daughter of the Roman emperor was found to be murdered. And the Romans framed the Jews. And they said, sounds like the blood libels that unfortunately, Rahman al-Atslan, happened in Europe and in Russia, end of the 1800s, beginning of the 1900s. They would find a Christian child murdered, or they would murder, I should say, Christian child. And they would say that the Jews did it. And then there would be a pogrom, Rahman al-Atslan, Hashem Yirachem Aleinu. So what happened was, Pappus ben Yehuda took responsibility for the killing of the Roman emperor's daughter, because he said if he doesn't take responsibility, the whole Jewish community will be punished. So Papi said he did the crime that he did not do. He was arrested. So who do you have in jail? Rabbi Akiva and Pappus. Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva said to Pappus, Pappus, mi hevi achalakan. Pappus, look at this. You're in jail. Why are you here? Who brought you here? Amar le, Pappus answered, Ashracha Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, you are fortunate. How does Sefer Tehillim begin? Ashrei ha'ish. Asher lo halach, but I'm not quoting from the Gemara. I'm adding something in. I want you to think this is in the Gemara. I don't want to chas v'shalom misquote chalila chazal. I'm just bringing in. Rabbi Akiva begins his answer with the word ashracha. No, I'm sorry. Pappus begins to Rabbi Akiva and he says ashracha, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, you are fortunate. Why? Rabbi Akiva is fortunate. Shenis pasta al divrei Torah. You were arrested over the words of Torah. Like David HaMelech says to us in the beginning of Sefer Tehillim, Ashrei ha'ish. Asher lo halach ba'atzas v'shaim, uvadar chata'im lo amad, uvamoshev leitzim lo yashav, ki im besoras Hashem chafso, uvesoras so yaga yamam laila. Fortunate is he, says King David, who does not go in the ways of the wicked, who does not sit with the sinners, who does not talk with the scoffers, but he who dwells in Torah day and night is ashracha, fortunate. And Papa says to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, if we both have to be in jail, who is the fortunate one? Me or you? Ashracha, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is fortunate because you were captured and arrested over words of Torah. Oy lo le Papas, woe to Papas, shenis pas. I was arrested for meaningless things. I was arrested for killing the Roman emperor's daughter, which I didn't even do. At least if we both have to be arrested as Jews, you are arrested for Chaye Olam Haba, for words of Torah. The Gemara continues and tells us of the famous story of the death of Rabbi Akiva. Bishasho tziu es Rabbi Akiva lahariga. It was the time that they took Rabbi Akiva out for execution. Rabbi Akiva is one of the perhaps more famous of the Asara Harugei Malchus. We read their story both in the Kiddush on Tisha B'Av, as well as on Yom Kippur during the Avodah. Rabbi Akiva, who did not discover Torah till the age of 40. Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, who was the son of a convert who did not receive a Jewish education. Rabbi Akiva was an ignoramus. He didn't even know the Aleph base. He worked as a shepherd for Kalba Sevua, who dedicated his whole life to teaching Torah. If I'm not mistaken, he lived till 120, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. From the age of 40 to the age of 120, for 80 years, he made himself into a vessel of Torah. Fascinating that Moshe Rabbeinu, at the age of 80, became the leader of Knesset Yisrael till 120. At the age of 80, Moshe becomes the leader to free the Jews till 120. For 80 years, Rabbi Akiva became a bastion of Torah and left us with a legacy of doros of Torah insights. And they come and they take him to be killed. What time of the day was it? Zman Kriya Shema Haya. It was the time of the recitation of Shema. He has one mitzvah left to do, Rabbi Akiva. What's the last mitzvah? To recite the Kriya Shema. Zman Kriya Shema. V'hayu sarkim es besaro b'masrako shel barzal. The Romans are scraping his flesh. They are combing his flesh with iron combs. The Yemach Shemam V'zichram, B'nai Esav, the Amalek, in every generation, Amdim Aleinu L'chalaseinu. Think of the most creative, horrific, debased, unspeakable ways to murder Jews in every generation. It's not enough that they killed Rabbi Akiva, but they were scraping his flesh with iron combs. V'haya Mekaba, Olav Al-Malchu Shemayim. But a Jew has a mitzvah never to leave the hot tub. A Jew has a mitzvah to immerse himself in the water of Torah. A Jew realizes there is no life outside of a life of Torah. If you leave the hot tub, you're finished. You're going to drown, proverbially, in the swimming pool. It's cold out there. A Jew understands ki ner mitzvah v'sora or. The warmth only comes from the ner of Torah, from the or of mitzvos. And if you leave that, there is no life. And so what was he doing at the time of his murder, at the time when they were combing his flesh with iron combs? Hayim akaba olav ol malchus shamayim. He was accepting upon himself the yoke of the heavenly kingdom, the mitzvah of the recitation of the Kriya Shema, is not only to recite the Kriya Shema, but it is also to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim, to accept the sovereignty of God's kingdom upon ourselves. Amru lo talmidav. His student said to him, Rabbeinu arkan, Rabbi, they're scraping your flesh with iron combs. You're being murdered, mamash al kiddush Hashem. You dedicated your whole life to realizing that a Jew without Torah is like a fish without water, like we spoke about last week, different vardach into that idea. And you're saying the Kriya Shema. Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva said, Amar lahem, Rabbi Akiva said, Kol yamai. Aisi mitzta'el, pasuk said, you know, Rabbi Akiva said, my whole life, I didn't understand. I was pained by. I was troubled by. I had tsar over the pasuk that we say in Parak Vav of Sefer Devarim b'chol nafshecha. Every day we say v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha v'chol me'odecha. You should love Hashem your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your ma'od. That's b'chol levavcha. Rashi says on the Chumash. B'shnei yitzirecha, with your two yetzers. Love God with your whole heart, with your yetzer tov and your yetzer hara. B'chol vavcha shelo yelibcha chalok al makom. Your heart should not be divided over the ribono she'olam. That's b'chol vavcha. What's b'chol me'odecha? So on the one hand, it means with all your possessions. B'chol me'od, b'chol me'monecha. Love God with all your possessions. Use your money to fulfill mitzvahs, to send your children to yeshivas, to buy shmur matzah, to buy lulav and esrog, to give tzedakah, to support your base knesses, to support the base medrash, to buy kosher food, b'chol me'odecha. Rashi also says, b'chol me'odecha, b'chol mida u'mida, shamodei decha, b'me mida tova, b'me mida peranus. With each and every measure that God gives you, you should love him, whether it's a good measure or a measure of difficulty, a measure of suffering. Like David HaMelech says, kos yishuas eso v'shem Hashem ekra, tzav v'yagan emtzo v'shem Hashem ekra. When God gives you pleasure, goodness, benefit, wonderful things, so you have to serve him, b'chol me'odecha. And when God gives you tzar v'yagon, sighing and pain and difficulties, you also have to love Hashem. But Rabbi Akiva expounded at the time of his death on the pasuk b'chol nafshecha. V'ahavta Hashem ekecha b'chol vavcha. Shema begins in Perek Vav of Devarim pasuk Dalet, continues into pasuk Hey. Should love God with all your hearts, we just explained it according to Rashi. With all your ma'od, we just explained it according to Rashi. And b'chol nafshecha, v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, b'chol vavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'odecha. Let's not forget, we're at the time of the murder, the martyrdom of Rabbi Akiva. And his Talmidim said to him, Rabbi, seriously, you're saying the Shema? You're scraping your flesh with iron combs and you're worried about Zman Kriya Shema? You're being makabo upon yourself, al machu shamayim. And Rabbi Akiva says, kol yamai ha'yisi mitzdal pasuk. So, you know, my whole life I was worried. I was pained. I was wondering about the mitzvah. B'chol nafshecha. V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol nafshecha. You should love God with all your soul. Afilu no tal es nishmascha. Even if God takes your soul. I have to love God. Even if he takes my soul. Amarti. And Rabbi Akiva said, my whole life I said to myself, masa yavo liyadi. When will this mitzvah come to my hand? V'akayimenu. And I will fulfill this mitzvah. I had the mitzvah to fulfill matzah, al matzah, marorim yachluhu, by the Korban Pesach. I had the opportunity to fulfill v'avta shemekach b'chol v'avcha b'chol me'odecha. I had the opportunity to fulfill l'kachtam l'achem b'yam arishon pri eitz hadar kapos t'marim v'anaf eitz avos. I had the opportunity to fulfill simchos yom tov. I had the opportunity to fulfill zechar v'shamer b'dibur echad when it comes to Shabbos Kodesh. I had the opportunity to fulfill v'al isha b'nidas t'umasa lo sikra v'gol sarvasa. But there was one mitzvah I never fulfilled, said Rabbi Akiva. I never fulfilled the mitzvah v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol nafshecha. And I always wondered and I was worried and I was pained if I will have the chance. Masai yavo l'yadi v'akarmenu. When will this mitzvah come to my hand so I could fulfill? I have to prove to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to myself, to Jews and all Doras, that the Jew does not have life if he jumps out of the hot tub. The hot tub represents the water of Torah, ein mayim al Torah v'dazarfai bi. And the warmth of the hot tub represents the fire, ner mitzvah, the warmth that comes from mitzvah, the Torah aura, the aura that comes from the fire of Torah. Tama ki tov sachro lo yichva b'layla nera, our candle, our warmth, Torah never goes out. I can never jump out of this hot tub. And I always wondered, will I ever be tested? And now I'm being tested. V'achshav sheba liyadi, and now that it comes to my hand, lo akayimena, I shouldn't fulfill the mitzvah. Hayamarich ba'achad, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, hear, O Israel, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. Rabbi Akiva elongated the saying of the word achad. Keep in mind that this is at the time of his murder. Ad sheyatzasa nishmaso ba'achad. His soul departed when he declared the oneness of the Ribono Shel Olam. The last mitzvah he fulfilled was Misa v'nikdash di b'soch b'nei Yisrael. The last mitzvah he fulfilled was the mitzvah of Amunah b'Hashem. The last mitzvah he fulfilled was Kabbalah Olam Achus Shemayim. The last mitzvah he fulfilled was v'shinantim lovanecha banim ar talmidim, to teach his talmidim that a Jew has no life outside of the life of Torah. A Jew without water, without Torah, is like a fish taka without water. And if you jump out of the hot tub, you could drown Chalida in that swimming pool because it's cold and it's big and it's deep. And it's a scary world out there. And we only have one place. And that's in the warmth, the fire of Torah, and the water of Torah. And his soul went out with Achar, Yatza, Baskova, Amra, a heavenly voice proclaimed, Ashracha, Rabbi Akiva. You are fortunate, Rabbi Akiva. Shayatzad nishmascha be'achar. Your soul departed with Achar. Amru malachei sharis ufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The heavenly angel said, God, zo Torah v'zo schara. Seriously? This is Torah? And this is the reward? This is what comes to a person who dedicated their whole life, who jumped into the warmth, the swimming pool, the fire, the flame, the passion of Torah, who committed himself, he rebuilt after his talmidim were killed. This is his reward? That his flesh was scraped with metal combs, and he was murdered for teaching Torah Barabim. So the Ribono Shel Olam said, the reward is in the next world. Chalkam b'chayim. The reward of someone who devotes his life to Torah is not in Olam Hazah, rather in Olam Haba. Yatza baskova amra, a heavenly voice emanated forth and proclaimed, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva. You are fortunate, Rabbi Akiva. Sha'ata mizuman l'chaye ha'olam haba. You are ready for life in the next world. Rabbi Akiva had direct entry into Olam Haba, into the Yeshiva Shalmala. You are fortunate. Interesting that the story begins. I just thought of something that I did not think of ever when I learned this Gemara before, or when I prepared the Shir before. Wow! I just thought of something in the last minutes of Shir, Baruch Pekeich Ivrim, that I think is a very beautiful insight. Pappas begins by saying to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, Pappas, what are you doing here? And Pappas doesn't say what he's doing. He just says, Ashracha, Rabbi Akiva. You are fortunate, Rabbi Akiva, that you were captured, that you were arrested over the words of Torah. And how does the Gemara end? With a basko, with the heavenly voice emanating forth and saying, Ashracha, Rabbi Akiva. You are fortunate, Rabbi Akiva. You are prepared for life in the next world. The story, the narrative, I should say. The final episode of Rabbi Akiva's life begins with the word Ashracha from Pappas and ends with the word Ashracha from the Ribono Shel Olam. And we tied this into the beginning of Sefer Tehillim. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach b'atzas v'shayim. King David says, you know who is fortunate? Fortunate is the man who does not walk in the ways by the advice of the wicked. Uvederech hata'im lo amad. And in the ways of the sinners, he does not stand. Uvamoshav leitzim lo yashav. And in the dwelling of the scoffers, he does not sit. Ki im besoras Hashem chefso, uvesoraso yega yamam alayra. He only desires a life of Torah, the Torah of God. And in Torah, he contemplates day and night. Ashrecha, Rabbi Akiva. Sha'atam mizuman nechayol mabay. You spend your whole life staying away from the sinners, the mockers, and the scoffers. Dedicate yourself to a life of Torah learning. You are ready for life in the next world. We started with my son's Dvar Torah, Yitzchak Yonatan, and we compared it to Lot. My son realized and said, a person should never become involved in bad things, because once they're involved in bad things, it's very hard to draw themselves out. We proved that from the Torah text in the name of Rav Shmuel Golden, who teaches that Lot began tenting in Tulsadam. It was very temporary. Just going to try and take the good. The next time we meet him, who Yoshev Bistom, he's Taka, living in Stom. And finally, Lot Yoshev B'Sha'ar Sodom. Lot was sitting on the gates of Sodom. He was it. The buck stops there. He was in charge of Sodom. A person should not think, says Rav Shmuel Golden, you can dwell at the edge of immorality and not be influenced. Once your foot's in the hot tub, before you know it, your whole self is going to be immersed in the dangerous fire of the shtusim that pervade the world around us. The flip side, a way to look at the mashal nimshal, is the second half of Shir, which is to see it that a Jew should never leave the hot tub. It represents Ein Mayim El Torah V'Odazar 5b, Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah Or, Tamaki Tov Sachros, Shlomo Melech L'Yichba B'Layir Neira, Perek Laman Aleph of Mishlei. Torah represents fire, passion, warmth. The menorah and the Mishkan Sas Beis HaMikdash represents the wisdom of Torah through the fire coming to the whole world. And if a person leaves the warmth and the water of the hot tub, they risk drowning in the world around them. Because Taka, it's cold out there. It's dangerous out there. It's hostile out there. We have to understand that the only life we have is a life of Torah. We can never leave the warmth of Torah and the water of Torah. Just like one does not want to leave the hot tub to go into the cold waters of the swimming pool. And we compare that to Rabbi Akiva at the end of his life. And even though he was murdered, he understood that there is no other life for a Jew, and the reward is in the next world. The story, the narrative of his death begins with Ashracha Rabbi Akiva, says Papus, you are fortunate, you were captured over words of Torah, and ends with Ashracha Rabbi Akiva of the Ribbono Shel Olam, saying you are Mizum on the Chaye HaOlam Haba. Ashrei HaIsh, David HaMelech says, fortunate is he who does not leave a life of Torah. I'll just end by quoting two short paragraphs, a teaching of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. Rav Moshe Feinstein once told the Talmud, people do many things in life for which they later have charata, regret. A person may start a business or some other venture, and then the day might come when he regrets ever having undertaken it. He may enter a partnership that later turns sour. He will regret the day he agreed to it. That is just how life is. But there is one thing that no one ever regrets, said Rav Moshe. I guarantee you, that no one who learns a block Gemara, a Perek Mishnayos, or a Pasuk in Chumash ever wakes up the next day and tells himself, gee, I'm sorry I did that. Never. Many things in life bring us regret. Perhaps Lot regretted going to Sodom in the first place. I don't know if he did. I don't know if he didn't. But many things bring us regret. One thing, says Rav Moshe, a person no one ever regrets. I guarantee you, no one who learns a block Gemara, a Perek Mishnayos, or a Pasuk in Chumash wakes up the next morning and says, gee, I'm sorry I did that. Kehem chayenu va'arach lamenu ashrecha Rabbi Akiva sh'ata mezuman l'chaye ha'olam ha'ba. Thank you all for joining our learning. I wish you a wonderful week of Besuras Tovos.